Good morning and welcome to the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton, President of Championship Communication. You're on WBCX-FM, the voice of Brenau, 89.1 FM. We broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m., rebroadcasted on Thursdays at 6 a.m. It's always great to be a part of the Brenau family. Today's guest program producer is Jalissa White. I'll say more about Jalissa's programs that she has with this station later on. Jalissa is in today for Christina Rhodes, who's visiting family and friends in California. Today's program guest is an expert in branding, management, marketing, all of which are important phases of communication. And he's going to help us answer key questions in all of those areas. To begin with, let me ask, how much difference does the brand that you use or select, how much does that matter? Well, long before we had branding experts around, I figured this out for myself accidentally. It was way back during my college years when practically every college student smoked. I was a member of Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity at Millsaps College in Jackson, Mississippi. And like many students, I carried a pack of cigarettes with me. And like many students, I would have my fraternity brothers and other friends stop and bum a cigarette from me. Well, I decided there might be a solution to that problem because I was going broke not only with my cigarettes, but furnishing a lot of other people on campus. My usual brand was very popular at the time, Pall Mall cigarettes. So I decided, what if someone thought I were smoking another brand? I bought a pack of Old Gold cigarettes. In my judgment, still one of the worst tasting cigarettes around, and I think practically everybody that I knew shared that opinion. So the next time I bought a pack of Pall Malls, I put it into that Old Gold package. Therefore, when I walked across the campus and somebody said, hey, I'd love a cigarette, you got one? I'd pull out the Old Gold package. Guess what? Very few people bummed cigarettes off of me after that because they didn't like the brand. It was the same content, but the brand made the difference. What about you when you're shopping? What if they are out of your brand? Or what if your brand disappears? How do you choose a new one? Why would that happen? Or what happens if your favorite brand even changes its major product? Now, what about this? Have you thought about you having a brand, even being a brand, whether you're an entrepreneur or not? Today's guest helps us answer these and other vital questions. Our guest is Justin Hahnemann. He's Director of Customer Intelligence at Coca-Cola Customer Business Solutions. Justin is one of the most versatile people that I've met. Not only is he renowned as a marketing, branding, communication, training expert, he's also written and produced music. He has two albums out. One is a Christian and country music crossover called Saturday in the South, produced in 2006. And then he wrote, produced, and sang in 2010, Let Go and Let God, under the category of gospel music. The proceeds for this work and for his excellent book, Make It Happen, go to benefit the USO. And we'll be talking with him about how that happened. Justin's background is very solid. His credentials include senior management positions with North Highland Company, a management consulting company, Epiphany Incorporated, computer software, IXL, information technology, and Ernst & Young, the well-known consulting firm. His leadership started way back because I noticed that he's an Eagle Scout. He has been recognized by the Atlanta Business Chronicle as one of the top 40 people under 40 years old in Atlanta. And incidentally, well, not just incidentally, and certainly not to him, Justin is married to one of our former guests of just a couple of weeks ago, Monique Hahnemann, an HR expert. Justin, welcome to the Communication Corner.
Hey, it's great to be here, and thanks for the amazing introduction.
Let's begin, as I say, at the beginning. we're talking about branding. Exactly how would you define brand, Justin? What do you mean when you refer to an entrepreneur or to a company having a brand?
Yeah, great question. And as I write in my book, Make It Happen, I think about brands at the largest level in the company and corporate brands. So with Coca-Cola, with the Nikes of the world, with Chick-fil-A and BP. And we think about the value of those brands over time based on decisions they make in the marketplace with consumers.
Let me interrupt and say maybe BP's has changed a little bit.
I think the value of their brand has probably changed the last couple of months. And at the same time, we see those brands over time can recover. You think about a Coca-Cola with their release and change of formula years ago, decided to make change back to the original formula, recovery and the value perception of the brand. BP, I think they had the opportunity to do the same thing. They had a very strong brand before the incident the last couple of months, and I would expect once the noise and news calms down that they will again be able to be rebuilding that brand. But that's at the company level. What I talk to individuals about and what I write about frequently is the concept of personal branding and the fact that each of us is a brand in and of itself. For me, my brand is made up of five key components. The first being my work, what I do during the day and where I spend a lot of my time, and you just outlined some of my background in the work space. Family, obviously very important to me. Number one behind my faith, which would be the third area. And then community involvement, giving back, staying involved in organizations where I can volunteer my time. The fifth area, though, is the one that many people don't take time to understand, and it's not easy to understand. And that's really understanding yourself from inside out. So your core values, your beliefs, the things you've learned growing up. You mentioned Eagle Scout. To me, Boy Scouting was foundational for where I am today even. Those things come together and make up my personal brand. I then leverage that in relationships, in my decision-making process, and other aspects of my life. So that's just me. And each of us has... each of us could fill in the blanks with five other areas. They may not be the same as mine, but each of us has the things that they value or the things that they focus on or the things that make up their personal brand. And that's the overall concept.
And really, as we look at people who are very well known, we discover that a brand can change just with one action. I think, for example, of presidential candidate John Edwards.
No question. Yeah, your brand, I always think of it like a bank account. So the value of that bank account increases over time. You're depositing money and growing the value of that account by decisions you make that are positive, by investments you're making, for example, and getting a degree, and educating yourself, and building new relationships, and giving back in the community, and investing in your faith. And on the flip side, you can take away from that account, you can decrease the value of that account by making poor decisions, by treating others in a way that maybe you wouldn't want to be treated, and the list goes on. We can all fill in the blanks of individuals that we see almost weekly in the news that have made poor decisions, and the value of their brand takes a hit. That doesn't mean it can't recover, though, but the value of that brand at the time does absolutely can be negative.
Well, somebody was mentioning to me yesterday, it's a little bit ironic that some of the this is election day, that some of the candidates are having Bill Clinton campaign for them. A decade or so ago, that might not have happened.
I agree with you, and I think he's an excellent example of someone that really brings a lot to the table and has worked through a trying time and maybe poor decisions. You know, we've seen Tiger Woods in the last year. Decisions there, and you want to see him recover and win respect again and make the right decisions down the road. You can look in the music space at a little bit different from a different point of view, Madonna. And this is someone that was very top of her game and then disappeared, almost had to adjust to a new culture. Not anything about bad decisions, but just the culture changed and life changed. And then she made a comeback around that. And because she refocused her music, she learned how to cater to a new population of listeners. And yet another example that doesn't necessarily have something to do with poor interpersonal decisions, I'll say. And the list goes on. Oprah Winfrey, someone that hit rock bottom, came back. I mean, so successful now. Donald Trump, another individual that, you know, again, hit rock bottom, no money, kept after it, the value of his brand was, you know, negative. He had a lot of debt, now made a big comeback. And, I mean, you look at people like that, and for those out there that may be feeling like they're not in the best position now, the thing I'd say is there's lots of other people that have made that comeback, and you can too.
Just one more point on that. I've been a longtime fan of country music. I'm not a professional, as you are. A longtime fan, and a couple of decades ago, I became a big fan of the Gatlin brothers. Well, Larry Gatlin and his brothers, it's no secret at all that they became very heavily addicted to cocaine. It almost nosedived their personal lives and their careers, and certainly their personal image. And yet, 2 days ago, I saw Larry Gatlin interviewed on morning television. He found a new faith. He revolutionized his life. He's become a very strong, charitable guy. And he regained and maybe even increased the reputation and the charisma and the status that he had before.
Absolutely. That's one example. And even on a smaller scale, you know, I work with individuals daily who are looking for coaching and advice and almost the cheerleader that can help them overcome an obstacle and get to that next level. And, you know, age shouldn't hold anyone back from pursuing their passions, from making that bounce back. And that's something that, for me, that's an area that I love focusing on.
I was amused in your book where you said that you decided to go back to one of your early passions in life, and that was music. But you had skeptics who said to you, well, you're too old for that. You were 31 at the time.
That's correct, yeah. I have to say, I'll never forget. I remember vividly where I was when I talked to this one individual who was in marketing. And I called her because a friend had referred me to her that she was good with marketing music and getting message out about an album and whatnot. I gave her just the rundown, and not even 30 seconds into the call, she said, how old are you? And I said, 31. And the album will be out when I'm 32. And she said, well, you're really too old, and I'm not sure what we can do. And I said, thank you very much, and hung up, and then made that, yet another, burning platform for the reason why I was going to absolutely make sure that I defined success for that album, that I followed through to make a difference with it. Because I think the challenge with that phone call was she didn't understand what my definition of success was, and had no interest in learning, and that's okay. And the reality is when you pursue things like writing music, writing books, pursuing other hobbies and passions, there's always going to be the naysayer, the person that says it can't be done, or you can't find the time, or you're too old. And what I would say is you got to expect that, and then be willing to look for the things that are working, and really use those as the fuel that gets you to making things happen.
I'd love to call that person who told you that and
remind
them that Colonel Sanders got his start at age 65, driving around, sleeping in his car, and selling his chicken cooking formula to small restaurants.
Yeah, I did delete her contact information from my BlackBerry that day because I didn't want to have to call her again and share with her that I had, moved forward. I had released an album. I had, you know, raised money for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. All the things that how I define success, basically. And quite frankly, I got it. I mean, you know, you never know what stage of life people are in, or what their experiences are leading up to that. And who knows, maybe she was just having a bad day, or, you know, just wasn't interested in working with a newer artist. And that's okay, because believe it or not, there's plenty of other people that were.
One of the exercises that I go through when I direct communication seminars is to ask people to give definitions of popular terms. And one of them is, I have them define middle age. I remember I was doing a program in Connecticut, and there was a very, very young person in the audience who said, middle age is 35. I told her, you flunk.
Yeah, exactly. It's all a matter of perspective.
Yes. I want to get back to a phrase that you used a few minutes ago when you first started talking about personal branding. You used the phrase inside out, and as I looked at your website earlier this morning, I noticed that Inside Out is the title of a training program that you direct at Coca-Cola and even outside of Coca-Cola. Tell us a little bit about the phrase inside out. What's that concept?
Inside out simply is inside out leadership. So at the highest level, that's what I'm referring to. At Coke, I established a program where I could coach and develop others in the organization to work through preparing for their next career move. And I called that inside out. And the reason is that it was beyond just putting a resume together in a format that made sense. It was, let's start by talking about your core values. What do you think is important? What are you really passionate about? What do you love to do? Like, when you come to work, what truly makes you excited? And beyond that, what are the things that you really don't want to be doing? Because I always see people in the wrong role that would love to be doing something else, and it's just a placement issue. So let's work on that. Let's define that and put it down on paper. Let's define a picture of who you are beyond the resume, and that's the whole personal branding piece. And then the final piece of the inside out, you've got the resume, you've got your personal brand definition, and then the last piece is really around the interview process. And I do think there's an art to preparing for interviews, for approaching the interview, for the way you answer questions in an interview, the content that you bring to the interview. It's not just a new resume on a nicer paper. Not just a new suit. But I will say first impressions are important, and that's part of that as well. And then it's the follow-up. So interviews complete. So you don't just go back to life as is. You write a thank you note. You follow up. All of the pieces to that. So that whole program I called Inside Out. So that's at Coke. On a bigger scale, I was being invited to speak to different groups regularly on all kinds of different topics. So personal branding, on career transitions, on interview techniques and resume building, you know, basically running the gamut around authentic leadership, I'll call it. And what I found is that the common theme across all of those presentations was the concept of being authentic and understanding who you are inside out, and then letting that then drive how you operate in the interview environment and the preparing for the next sales call and the building a personal brand and investing in yourself and training, all the things that go with all those different topics. So I called it inside out, and also I think it's kind of catchy and memorable.
Yes.
Quite frankly.
Yes, it is. For those of us, those of you just joining us, you're in the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton, on WBCX 89.1 FM. And I had mentioned earlier in the day that Jalissa White is our program producer today. Jalissa is a participant in two programs that are very popular on this station. One is the Positive Perspective, Wednesdays at 7 a.m. And my gosh, don't we need a positive perspective today with all the bad news we hear? And then Jalissa hosts on Saturday afternoon from 1 until 4, Saturday Soul Groove. Boy, that sounds good. Better tune into that one as well. Getting back to our guest, Justin Hahnemann. Justin, I would assume when you're talking about coaching and we're talking about branding, when we look today at the number of people who are, I think you used the phrase in transition a minute ago, which has become sort of a nice way of saying they're out of a job and they're looking for a new job. I would think that someone who is in transition and they've been in one slot for a long time, but now that slot is gone, they have to reshape. They have to reinvent their brand, don't they?
Yeah, one of the things I enjoy doing is talking to groups of individuals that are looking for that next opportunity. And what I found is a couple of things. First, only about 5% of the individuals in the room are doing things others aren't doing. And what I found is that is a huge mistake. And what I mean by that is submitting your resume online to the website and hoping that someone calls you is not enough. Not investing in understanding what resumes should be structured like today around keywords and whatnot, big mistake. Not getting into social media, including LinkedIn, maybe even Twitter and Facebook, but at least LinkedIn, and doing some networking events and understanding what you'd like to do next, big mistake. doing things others aren't doing. And I think that's a way to differentiate yourself. Now, so what my role is, I love that as a problem that I can help solve. I think I can provide some ideas, content, examples of how others are just doing things to differentiate themselves, what others are doing to clearly define their skill sets, their background and experience, and lay it out in a way that makes sense. I love that. So I see a problem that I can help to resolve. I love working with people, doing coaching and development. Therefore, like, my solution to that is, hey, let me give you some ideas around personal branding. It's an interesting concept. Anyone in the room can do it. There's a little bit of legwork involved and a little bit of investment of your own time, but the result could get you that next job. And I love that kind of idea.
And what might surprise a lot of people is this rebranding of ourselves doesn't take an incredible outlay of money. For example, when websites started, they were quite expensive, but there are ways now to get a website going at very modest cost. The social media we're talking about, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Plaxo, whichever of those that you want to be on, practically all of them are free. You can get you can purchase some upper levels, but even at the basic level, you can get a lot going on. I had a social media expert on as my guest a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things she said, Justin, was that if you're in the job market and you're not active in those, any employer is going to wonder why. Aren't you savvy? Don't you know those things? So it's like you're saying, do what the experts are going to be doing.
No question. And I think you are doing yourself a disservice by not investing, at least understanding the tools that are out there. I get that some people are concerned about getting into some of those, or they don't understand why anybody would want to be on Twitter because they're just updating their status every once in a while and whatnot. But there's an art to it. I learned more. I've met more individuals through, for example, Twitter and LinkedIn than I would through my normal networking and spheres of influence, I'll call it. And I always encourage people to just be involved in it to understand it, because if nothing else, when you're at an event and someone else is involved, you can have an intelligent conversation about it. But if you've never invested just a little bit of time to get involved, open an account, check it out, understand it, look at the kinds of groups on LinkedIn and the types of people to follow on Twitter, you're going to be left out of the conversation at the next networking event. And quite frankly, it would only take 30, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour, to really understand each of the sites that you just mentioned in total at the high level. So why not invest the time? Again, this is something that I think is very simple, but there's many, many people who won't go out and do that, and they just won't make the time to do it, and that's something that others are doing.
Obviously, a person can go overboard on that like they can on any marketing avenue. You could get to the point where you spent practically all of your time there. It can be somewhat addictive. At the same time, you want to stay away from the frivolous items on there, such as what your cat ate that day.
Yeah, I think it's a balance issue. It's also a filtering or self-monitoring concept, I'll call it. So, you have to keep in mind that what you put on Twitter is searchable on Google. What you have on LinkedIn is viewable by recruiters. What you have on Facebook, oh, by the way, not viewable by it's not going to be searchable through web search engines, but anybody that's your friend can see things you're posting. And, oh, by the way, all of that contributes to your personal brand and the value of it. So if I'm out there berating companies, talking about all the negative issues everywhere I travel, you know, over time, I'm going to be perceived as a very negative person. And, oh, by the way, a recruiter can see that information and can get an early first impression on an individual just based on their social media traffic.
As I was looking this morning, I believe it was on your LinkedIn site, Justin, I saw something which we all need to be aware of that you stated, and that is that loyalty or seniority no longer determine your value as an employer. I know in the decades when I was maturing as a very young person, things were much more stable. They were not very there was very little fluctuation then. If, for example, a person started a career in a bank, as long as that person kept his or her nose clean, as we used to say, they would move up the ranks gradually. They probably would not have any mobility. They wouldn't have to go to another town. They would get promoted. Eventually, they'd be vice president. One day, they would retire with a pretty good pension, and that bank would be owned and operated by the same company for 30 to 40 years during the entire time of their career. That's not the case any longer. And so how long you have been in an organization is not entirely irrelevant, but that's not the main factor now. So you say you have to brand yourself quickly. And you came up with an acronym for the word brand that I thought was not only catchy, a word we've used earlier today, but it has a lot of meaning. Go through that acronym for us, if you will, please.
Sure. Well, first on your comment around longevity and stability in a firm, what I'd say to that is I'll give you an example. I had somebody call me earlier this week, and they said, hey, you know, I was wondering if you could take a look at my resume and help me connect in to, he listed three or four companies around Atlanta, and he said, you know, I'm really looking for something more stable. And I thought, you know, interesting concept, but really, I don't know any business that's truly never changing.
He'd better go to a horse farm.
Yeah, and quite frankly, if a business isn't changing, they're probably being left behind by their industry.
They will be.
So that's something that, whether it's at Coca-Cola or Ernst & Young or any other firm out there, they're always going through change because they've got to continue to evolve their product set and their solution offerings.
Justin, let me interrupt. It's time for us to take a break, and when we get back,
sure,
we'll have you spell out that acronym for brand.
Sounds great.
Over 30 years of quality music and programming, WBCX 89.1, the voice of Brunel.
Extraordinary lives from Brunel University.
I had everything going for me, a husband, a child, and a job I loved. And then things just fell apart. I got divorced, and suddenly my job as a teacher's assistant could no longer pay the bills. It was a terrible blow, but I didn't feel self-pity. Only this overwhelming sense that this was my life, and I wanted to make it the best life I could for me and my son. So I went back to school and enrolled in Brunel University. At Brunel, I found classrooms full of people just like me, motivated adults who wanted to better their careers and their lives. In 1 year, I'll be a licensed school teacher with my own first grade classroom. Life can knock you down, but you can change that life. At Brunel University, you can make your life extraordinary.
Now with two Atlanta campuses, Norcross and Fairburn, as well as Gainesville and online, register at gobrunel.com. That's GOBRENAU.com. Brunel University, extraordinary lives.
Hi, I am Ricardo Boyer, host of Embracing Health. Every Friday at noon, we talk about various topics related to your health and well-being, empowering you to make positive changes in your life. So, join me Fridays at noon here on 89.1 WBCX, the voice of Brunel.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can motivate your audience.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can teach your children.
I can boost your bottom line.
I can add value to your workplace.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and ability.
If you don't hire me.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
You can remember that it works.
It's what people can do.
It's what people can do that matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Sean Miller here. Be sure to join me every Sunday for music from artists like EST, Gold Rap, Randy Crawford, Rio de Janeiro Blue,
Rio de Janeiro Blue,
Moderico, Solar Igniter, That's Jazz Pulse every Sunday evening, 6 to 10 p.m. right here on Bernal University's 89.1 WBCX, the voice of Bernal.
This is a public service announcement.
Celebrate and encourage ordinary people to accomplish great things through service. Find a volunteer opportunity near you at 211uwch.com.
My name is Jamali Rashears. With my local United Way, I help promote academic achievement and give kids a reason to stay in school. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Gail Dunn, and I'd like to invite you to join me on Garage Gab every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. On Garage Gab, we'll find a way to help you solve your car dilemmas and save you money. Again, that's 9 a.m. on Wednesday mornings here on The Voice of Bernal.
Senior Issues is a radio show devoted to promoting quality issues to help our seniors maintain or improve their quality of life. Also, the show can help those with seniors in their family be aware of the various issues that would affect both them and their loved ones. Showtime is 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Thursday, and yes, we are live. We will cover a wide range of subjects over the course of time. If you have a subject that you would like discussed, or if you know of an event that our listening audience should be aware of, call me at 770-380-9727. This is Charles White, Certified Senior Advisor. I hope that we can add you to our listening audience.
Welcome back to the second half of the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton, here every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Talking today with a fascinating guest, Justin Hahnemann from Coca-Cola. And before the break, I had asked Justin to be on standby to talk with us about how we brand ourselves quickly. He has an acronym for what we can think of when we think of the word brand. Go through that for us, please, Justin.
Great question. So when I speak to groups, I find that it's always good to give people something to build their brain around or a way to think about the key takeaways. So, of course, I use the word brand, and each of the letters in the word I built around a concept. So let me run through those. First, for the B, is believe in yourself. And the idea here sounds simple, and what it truly means to me is understanding, again, who you are, and this gets back to the inside-out discussion, but when you understand more about who you are, what you're passionate about, what your likes and dislikes are, and those types of things, you can then use those to pursue the next thing in life and to make a difference in life. And so that is truly like believing in yourself and having some self-confidence because, for example, in an interview, when someone walks in and is confident, you see it immediately. Someone that walks in is very not very confident or very negative.
Apologetically.
Absolutely. And it's just not a good first impression. And what I found is most companies are looking for the people that fit into the first bucket. So that's B, believe. Second is reset, R. Reset here is a couple of things. First, if you think about reset from the large perspective, it's look at our economy over the last 2 or 3 years. We've had a massive reset. In fact, that's a word that was thrown around for almost an entire year on CNBC as we're going through a reset, reset, reset. Well, for me personally, I've gone through a reset. I've been divorced. Talk about a major life reset. And now I'm remarried, which has been wonderful. But going through that at the time, my gosh, talk about getting knocked backwards and something that just wasn't expected. And I know I'm not the only one out there. 50% of couples go through divorce. I mean, a lot of people have been through that. You've had deaths in the family. There's a list of things that could happen.
And major illness.
Major illness. All of these force a reset or kind of a change to the rhythm or the routine of life, I'll call it. And the reality is, the important thing is, getting through it first, but understanding what got you through it and looking back and learning from it. So the next time there's a reset, you know what to expect. And, oh, by the way, I'm not looking for another divorce. But, you know, there's going to be another illness in the family. There's going to be another difficult, challenging situation to deal
with. Problems with children.
Absolutely. That's the R. A is positive attitude. This goes with the first letter that I mentioned, but I've found that in my watchword for years has been positive attitude changes everything pace. And I learned that when I was younger and actually have seen it in action by using positive types of words.
Repeat that for us, please. I'd love for people who have a pen and paper to write that down right now. Pace. Tell us what that stands
for. Positive attitude changes everything.
Boy, I'd like to put that on a t-shirt.
It works every time. I promise. Go to Target and go shopping today, and as you're checking out, be friendly to the checkout person, ask them about their day and whatnot. Watch the response. At the airport, instead of being the passenger that's frustrated and upset when you're checking in for the flight or, you know, rushed to get through, thank the person taking the ticket on the way through. Watch the response. I could go down the list of things that I see on a regular weekly basis, especially with travel. You see a lot of people who lose the positive attitude in a hurry. And so anyway, that positive attitude changes everything. The N is for network. We talked about social networking. I think about networking from three perspectives. One is certainly social and things like LinkedIn, Plaxo, Facebook, Twitter. The list goes on. Got that part. Second is within the business, within Coca-Cola for me, within the industry. You know, I have relationships across the consumer goods industry, and I've invested in those. I go to events to meet people and help them connect with others. I love being a connector. I love doing that.
So this means get outside of your
own
department.
Outside the four walls, yes.
Yeah. Don't just say, okay, this is my area. This is my department. That's all I need.
Yes, and most companies have tools and activities and programs set up that enable networking, and you just have to take the first step. Oh, by the way, not very easy sometimes. The third part of networking, though, is out beyond that and truly from a career perspective, and so that's the network piece.
I've often been fond of a couple of statements. One is that networking beats not working.
Right. Well, and I, you know, the word networking to me sometimes just doesn't work. I don't like to go to networking events. I enjoy going to events where it's a certain subject matter where I get to meet other people that are interested in that subject matter. For example, the social media space around Atlanta right now, there's a large number of gatherings for learning about social media and how to invest in it. Or consumer goods industry events. I love going to those. I get to meet other people that are passionate about the consumer goods industry. I get to meet other people that are doing things that maybe we're not doing at the Coke Company and within the area that I work in. Yeah, it falls into the bucket of networking, but I'd really think of it more as relationship building. And I use the word network in the letter here because I think it really is the network, the relationships in the network. And then the final piece is deliver. So that's the final letter in the word brand. And when I talk about deliver, this one really gets down to tactical delivery of projects, delivery of results, delivery of value, delivery of an impact to an organization from time spent. So don't just be on a board. Make sure you're there at all the meetings and volunteering your time to serve and not just putting it on your resume, not just looking for another ego boost. I mean, deliver. Deliver results, make an impact, pursue your passions, and then see the results of those over time. That's really the word brand.
This reminds me of something else that you said that I related to so immediately. You were talking about when we list someone's lifespan, and we say, for example, they lived from 1900 to 1970. There's a dash in between the 1900 and the 1970. Elaborate a little bit on what you said about our use of the dash.
Yeah, I think about things from the standpoint of my bottom line, which is do more, give more, be more. And if today was the last day, what's your legacy? Like, what is your true legacy that you've left? If it's next week, if it's next month, what impact have you made on others? What difference have you made with an organization or with, for even better, as with an individual? Really, what impact have you made on the life of someone else? And to me, thinking about things from that perspective totally changes your day. And it's hard to build in time, I have to say, in the margin to step back and think about life that way. But I do find it is important at some point. I don't think it's every day because it's everyone's got lots going on. I don't know if it's every week, but you've got to build in some margin in your life to be able to sit back and look at the forest for the trees and say, am I really happy? Am I really making a difference? Because there's plenty of opportunities out there. Every organization is looking for someone to step up and make a difference.
I mentioned at the outset that proceeds from your book and from your music go to the USO. How did that happen? Why did that happen?
Yeah, so one thing that I decided, getting back to the first album that came out 4 years ago, that was called Saturday in the South, is that each creative project that I do, I wanted to have a charity aspect to it. And partly because I think it almost was a reality check and forced me to, as a constant reminder, that I was doing this to benefit others. So, and not just for myself. I think it's easy to get lost in the selfishness when you're doing things in the entertainment world. And so one of the nice things about having the charity piece is to ensure that, hey, there's a checkpoint here. Remember what this is and the impact it can make beyond just selling a CD or downloads off iTunes. So for my first album, a portion of the proceeds went to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, a great organization here in town where I had done volunteer work. The book, Make It Happen, I released about a little less than 2 years ago now. And part of the story in the book is around my dad's experience flying in the Vietnam War, and he used to fly medical helicopters. And I really wanted to find a charity where I felt like it was timely and impactful. And over the last couple of years, as you know, a large number of our family, friends, neighbors have been serving in the military overseas, and that leaves a lot of families here with, you know, people gone for long periods of time. And so for me, the USO was a great organization that really takes care of and looks after the families and the troops, both while they're here and abroad. My new album, I will also donate a percentage of the proceeds to the USO. I decided to keep those two consistent for these two projects.
You've selected some very worthy causes. When I looked at an email from you, everybody who has an email and is a professional has some ID at the bottom below your signature. Sometimes they have a tagline. Your tagline caught my attention. I want you to talk about that. Your tagline is, "The secret to concentration is elimination."
That's a great question. And so a little history on that. Each month, I change my tagline, and it coincides with my team meeting that I do at Coke. And basically, what I've done with my team is we have defined a vision for our team for this year, and that rolls up to our overall organizational vision. But each month, what I do is challenge the team to think about different concepts that help us to enable the vision or help us to achieve the vision that we've set out for ourselves. So for this month, you're correct. That was the bottom line, I'll call it, for this month. And I get a lot of my ideas from different aspects of my life, either working with other leaders or other people that are doing things that are making an impact. And this concept I borrowed from Andy Stanley, who's the lead pastor at my church, Buckhead Church. And he does regular leadership podcasts, and I've gotten a lot of ideas from that, and I've been able to apply those with my team and whatnot. So that's where that came from.
I talked in introducing you a little while back today, and time is flying by. In introducing you, I talked about the fact that you spent quite a few years in the building part of your profession as a consultant. As you dealt with different organizations, different companies, different clients, different prospects, what were some of the most common communication barriers that you ran into in dealing with various companies, and how did you overcome them and even help them overcome them?
So the key to being an effective consultant is relationship skills, first and foremost. People buy people. Done. Full stop right there. They then buy the technology, the
product.
the product, and whatnot that go around it. But people buy people. I found that in several client examples. When I was at Ernst & Young, where, for example, I did some project work at Disney in their marketing area down in Orlando. And they valued the work that our organization brought and picked and chose individuals they wanted to remain on future projects. And they were buying the people and the firm. But they're buying the people and their value. So, but from a communication perspective, the reason that I think that happened in my instance and many others that I saw was around transparency, was around open and honest communication, was around setting expectations with the client, and then ensuring that either the expectations were met and those were communicated and they celebrated the win, or if there was going to be a miss, that it was caught early, communicated early and with full transparency so that there wasn't a last-minute change in the plan and then something not be delivered on time or under budget. So from a consulting perspective, one of the best things that there's many great things I found in consulting, and one of them was around working with different companies, different clients, different projects, different teams, and then the thing that really made the successes, I think, were really communication-based.
In dealing with a team, we all know that you don't treat a team as you would back in the 1950s, where you told the team what to do, the team did it, there was no input, there were no questions, there were no suggestions. We now know, any enlightened manager knows, that getting constructive feedback from the team is very important. How do you do that?
I have an amazing team at Coke, and one of the things that I will tell you here and now is that I am not the smartest person in every topic area on our team. And many leaders have a hard time saying what I just said, is that they are not always the smart. The leader is not always the smartest person on the team, but they are the leader. And a great leader is able to identify the strengths and knowledge areas within the team and leverage those and cheerlead around those and help that individual get to the next level and get them recognized so that they can celebrate some wins and have success in their career. And so that's the way I handle my team. I always am looking for the team to help drive decisions. I try to do our team meetings so that they're not standard, boring, kind of run-of-the-mill, I run the show and see you later. And that's the environment I have attempted to create. And without the team here to give you the feedback on how that's going, I feel like it's going well. But one of the things that I've learned is that it's okay to try things and then change direction and admit when things don't work just as much as it is when the things that you are doing do work. And I rely on my team to provide that feedback and coaching and kind of the 360 information so that I can help them to be successful.
What you're saying there reminds me of the advice of a good friend of mine in Orlando, Terry Brock, who is a renowned marketing and technology expert. And Terry is a coach of mine, has been. He's a friend. He's a valued colleague. I've heard him speak to quite a number of audiences, and one of the things that he says to practically every audience, and if he doesn't say it, it's just because he's overlooked it, he says, all of us know more than any one of us. And that's why it's valuable for us, for example, to do the networking that you're talking about, not just to push our business card in somebody's face, but to establish relationships where we share our expertise, they share their expertise, and both of us benefit, our organizations benefit, our careers, and even our lives benefit.
Yeah, and my job isn't just to complete projects on time and under budget and deliver results. My job is to make sure my team is successful in doing that and is happy and enjoying and feeling like they are getting something out of the everyday job. Because guess what? A lot of people spend 70-80+% of their life at work, and I certainly want to create an environment where they can be successful and feel enriched and feel like they are really leaving an impact. Again, back to the DASH discussion, you know, what impact have they made? What legacy are we leaving as a team, not only on the CBS organization where I work, but on the overall Coke system? And one thing I've learned about legacy is that it may not be something that we see now. It may be something that comes about long after we're gone. And we just need to recognize that investments and seeds we're planting now are seeds that may not grow while we're there, and we don't need to, that's okay. But we can make an impact now that may have long-lasting impact down the road.
Reminding listeners that you're in the Communication Corner. We're talking with our guest, Justin Hahnemann from Coca-Cola, a marketing branding expert. Want to play now off of something that you just said, Justin, where you said that some people might be spending 70 to 80 hours a week in their job. As I have become familiar with you, both in knowing your wife, Monique, and talking with you in preparing for our interview and reading your materials, you're obviously a very, very dedicated professional. I know that you have put in those 70 and 80-hour weeks, and yet you list among your passion things outside of work, such as competitive sports, the great outdoors, international travel, learning about new customers. And it seems to me that you're implying, just by your lifestyle, that everybody who has a powerful personal brand must create and cultivate and make sure they maintain a life outside of work.
No question. Two thoughts on that. First of all, the word balance is the first word that I thought of. And balance for each individual is defined differently. There's no question. And I operate best with multiple balls in the air. I become more highly organized when I have more things going on. That doesn't work for everybody. That's just me. Again, thinking back on the inside out thing, that from inside out, that's how I operate best. From the standpoint of pursuing a passion in life, I would say at every single speaking event that I've done, at the end of the event, when we're talking and just kind of the casual conversations are taking place, at least one person comes up and says, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. Or, you know, I've always wanted to learn to play guitar. And I sit there and I go, and why aren't you doing it? And inevitably that comes back to, well, I just don't have time, you know, with the dinners and football games and work and
television.
Oh, yes. And what I would say is it's good that I don't get a chance to investigate their schedule in detail. Because I probably could find the hour or two or three a week that you could invest if you chose to pursue that. So I do encourage people to do that. And I have found that by having a creative interest or a passion that you're pursuing in addition to your work, I think I'm better at work. I think people are better in their work life when they've also got things going on in their community life, in their family life, and then their kind of the hobby life, I'll call it, the passion part of life, because you become more efficient and you found more satisfaction in doing these other things. And oh, by the way, remember back to the interview discussion we just had earlier. When you walk into the office, you're inevitably feeling more confident, more positive. I mean, there's, you've got something to talk about. You're not just coming to work and going home every day. And I just think that overall that works best. I do challenge people though to find that time.
I don't know about you, but I have worked for workaholics before. I did not find them very effective because they were people with very, very limited interest. I remember so well one of my CEOs that I worked for. A group of us at a staff retreat were sitting around, and we were asking each other, what's your hobby? And one person would say, as you would say, Justin, well, I'm glad to see college football coming. I noticed on Facebook this morning you said, hooray, football season is back.
That's right.
Somebody might mention golf. Somebody might mention sailing. Somebody water skiing. Somebody international travel. We got around to the CEO, and he said, my hobby? Well, I have Sunday afternoons off, and I come into the office, and I catch up on correspondence. And we're thinking, no wonder you're so dull. And no wonder you're so uninspiring.
Maybe he's satisfied with that, though. Yeah. My question to that individual is, and what happens when you're not the CEO anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
where's your life?
To talk about? Yeah.
Right.
If today is last day, so sure, you made some decisions at the company, and what else? And just help me understand what else. Maybe this individual does a lot of coaching and mentoring internally. So that's their outlet. So my only thing there is you have to understand what else is going on. That hobby for that individual may be, you know, I enjoy looking at future leaders within the organization and helping them map out the steps to get there. My guess is he wouldn't have said that. But if somebody did say that, that may be their hobby. Perfect. Just having something else that where you can dedicate your energy. Because I would just say again, what is your legacy?
I do still remember, even though it's been a number of years ago, I do still remember that one of our annual retreats for that organization started with a dinner on a Sunday night. That was Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. Let's not forget the rhythm of life in planning work events. Absolutely not a good choice.
Justin, some of our listeners, I'm certain, in this economy are becoming entrepreneurs. Maybe they didn't intend to. Maybe that was never in their plan. But many people now who have left their former organizations are finding the job market closed. At the same time, many of them are doing what you talked about. Possibly this is the time to launch their new dream. Let's say, Justin, that among the people you're coaching, or maybe just somebody you're having coffee or lunch with, you're talking with a new entrepreneur who wants to create a brand for his or her new company, service, or product. What would be maybe the top three or four or five tips that you would advise that person to take in selecting and promoting the new brand, you?
Great question. And my first thought would be, wow, this person's asking me for advice and I haven't started my own business. So I would be very cautious at that point. And instead of giving them advice on how to start their business and build their business, I would first look into my network and connect them with venture capital friends of mine, with a handful of folks that have started their own business. Some have failed, some are doing very well. And I would make those connections. That would be first thing that would come to my mind, is I would be looking to make a connection for them to help them understand the ins and outs of having your own business. Second, on the personal branding topic, of course, I have plenty of content around that. And even on the corporate branding topic, that's an area that I've done a lot of speaking on. And I would spend time reviewing not only my lessons learned, but again, kind of giving them some helpful pointers, giving them the tools that I've leveraged in the past, pointing them in the direction of good content sites on the internet where they can get information, or understanding the ins and outs that I've heard of. But at the end of the day, I'm not the entrepreneur from the standpoint of starting a business, so I would absolutely look to make the connection for them into somebody that is.
Among the top marketing and branding experts, are there any one or two who are your favorites other than your own work?
You know, I do get asked regularly, like, what are my influences for writing, or what are my influences for writing songs? And I find that they come from different sources, and it's not just one author or one singer, songwriter that I look to get ideas from. I find that I get as many ideas from other leaders in the space as from my friends and colleagues that I work with every day. And I use those ideas in forming the concepts around blogs, around new songs, and around my next book.
Justin, this has been a fascinating interview. I know that we have just begun to scratch this very important topic. I also know that our listeners have learned a great deal about creating their own brand. It's not something you do instantly. It's something that you develop. And anyone who's going to do that would be very wise to select a mentor, a coach, someone who's already done that. As you say, you haven't started a business, but many people have who know how. Recognize that it's going to take a tremendous investment of your time, your creativity. Plus, as we've said, you don't know everything. Consult with those who do. Before you give your contact information, is there any closing statement you would like to make to sort of pull this all together?
Yeah, I challenge anyone that is contemplating starting a business or making a career transition, or to make even more of an impact at work, to consider what they're doing from the standpoint of balance, and not just in the career space, but also in giving back. What are you doing to do more every day, whether it's at work, in the community, at your church, with your family? What are you doing to give more of your time, talents, and financial means? And then at the end of the day, how are you being more as an individual?
And reminding us that it's all like a bank account.
That's right. Absolutely.
The more you give, the more you invest, the fuller your life will be.
Absolutely.
Tell us your contact information, please, Justin.
Website is Hahnemann.com. I'm on Twitter at Jay Hahnemann, and Facebook fan page is Hahnemann Creative. But if you just go to www.hahnemann.com, you can find all that information.
I'm sure our people will want to do that who've been with us on this program. This is Dr. Bill Lampton, host of the Communication Corner, with you every Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, rebroadcasted at 6 a.m. on Thursdays for those who happen to get out of bed early. My contact information, my website, championshipcommunication.com. Again, championshipcommunication.com. My phone number, and I'd love to hear from you, 678-316-4300.